I'm late. It's the news.
According to me.
Good afternoon. It is November 14th, Thursday, November 14th, 4:13 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I am way behind. We're getting a show done, but I'm getting a show done today because I didn't get a show done yesterday. Yesterday was a crazy day. Last 2 days have been crazy. I was in Indianapolis on, was it Tuesday night? Tuesday night. I think I was there Tuesday night. Last night, I was in Springfield, Missouri, and that was via Charlotte. I was actually in Charlotte for a little while. It's been crazy. And, of course, to get back to Chicago today, I had to go through Chicago, of all places. The people who schedule my schedules, the people who travel me, it's absolutely stupid the way they do this. Another part of our team was going from Springfield to Chicago, and then they had to transport them back to Dallas. And the team I was with was a Chicago team. The other team was a Dallas team. They sent them to Chicago, and then they had to transport them back. They had to, you know, fly them back to Dallas. We were going to Dallas, and they had to transport us back to Chicago. And we left at the same time this morning. I don't understand how they think that this is efficient at all. How is this supposed to work? There will be a conversation with our scheduling people, because this is not, this is stupid, is what this is. We could have gone one direction and been done. The other team, the same way. They could have gone one direction, been done. But no. They had to make our day twice as long. Actually, more than twice as long. And then cost them more money. Cost them more money. For who knows what, I don't understand it. I don't understand it at all. But, and don't give me this bigger picture stuff. They always say, oh, you just don't see the bigger picture. Well, there's no bigger picture here. This is just stupid. This was absolutely stupid. So, anyway, a couple things I want to get into. One is my cup. I don't want to get into my cup, but I want to talk about my cup. My cup is too small for me to get into. I'm trying to lose a little weight, but not that much weight. I don't even think my ashes would fit in this cup. It is my regular vanilla chai with almond joy creamer. I have my backup cup is actually kind of a weird thing. It's Culver sweet tea, which is not all that great. It's consistent and it's not funky. It doesn't taste bad. It's just a different type of tea. It's not the good kind of tea. It's a different kind of tea. It's more like an English breakfast type. It's got a different flavor. I'm not sure where what kind of tea leaves they are. I have to find out sometime. It's not a bad flavor. They do have consistent quality with their tea, but it's just not good. It's just not the best tea out there. Doesn't come anywhere near comparing to Chick-fil-A tea. I could have stopped at Chick-fil-A on the way home, but I did not do that. I was ready for a fish sandwich instead of a chicken sandwich, so that's what I got. So anyway, a couple things I want to talk about. It's not going to be a real long show, because I need to take a nap. I'm going to be back out of here again tomorrow morning early. But I am at the home studio, by the way. A couple awesome things are happening with all the Trump stuff. One of the things that's going on that I think is, the Armory Cat's down here. Yeah, I see the Armory Cat. We'll keep the Armory Cat away. The dog is concerned. I thought one of the best trolls that I saw going on. Now, one of the things I talk about some of Trump's appointments. One of Trump's appointments is to replace Jean-Claude Pierre is going to be, and even if this just, if they just did this for a month, it would be, and my understanding is this may just be a temporary assignment. I don't even think that he wants to do it for very long, but the person that they've chosen, they're floating the name around anyway. This is not a Senate approval deal. This is just somebody they just throw out there. Alex Jones, ladies and gentlemen. I present to you Alex Jones as the White House spokesperson. Oh, my word. Can you imagine? It would be the entertainment value. And this could just be Trump trolling everybody. I don't know. But I think it would be an awesome, an incredible entertaining. Bless his heart. He's somebody who really wants to be, you know, he wants to know what scripture says. What you see is what you get with Alex, pretty much. I mean, he does play a character a little bit, but he is pretty much Alex Jones. I mean, he's not a phony. You know, he's a little bit of a hyperbolic guy. A little bit, I guess. That's probably an understatement. But he definitely has, you know, a lot of tenacity, moxie, a lot of grit. Very, very straightforward in the way he talks. I've seen him mature a lot in the last, you know, 6-7 years, especially after this lawsuit he went through. I think today everything, all of his assets with InfoWars were actually auctioned off or sold or something. My understanding is that The Onion, of all places, the satirical article generating, it's now a web thing, it's an internet thing. They have a lot of satirical stuff. I haven't heard that much from The Onion lately, but it's a kind of a satirical news organization. And my understanding is that they've purchased all the assets. Now, the assets are worth nothing without Alex being involved, and part of the lawsuit is that there's no, it's not like he's selling it out and he has a non-compete or anything. He can walk off and start his own show again, which he probably will. But at the interim, he will probably take this job for a month or so, and then he'll start up his own network again, or go to some other network. Something will happen here. But can you imagine just for a month or so, even just a week, of Alex Jones being White House. Now, the other person that they're talking about that's just making their heads explode, and it just it either terrifies them, or they just think it's a joke, or they think it scares the daylights out of them, is Matt Gaetz being the Attorney General. Now, Pete Hogsett, by the way, he's actually a military guy. He was an officer in the military. He understands the military. He's been very steeped in what's going on. He has, and I think Pete's biggest asset is that he has connections with some very strong people, knowledge-wise. He himself may not have that much. Now, he's not a General Milley, that's for sure, in many ways. But he has connections with some of the best people in the military, in my opinion. He has rubbed elbows with some very strong people in terms of military mind. And my understanding is I think he's going to take Milley's place, I guess. I don't know what he's going to do there, but I think it's critical that he is in that position. I think he's a good pick for that. Now, he's been on Fox and Friends. He's been on, you know, Fox. He's been a Fox contributor for a long time. But he also is a, you know, first and foremost, he's a military guy. Now so there's that. The other one that they're all flaking out about is Matt Gaetz being the Attorney General, and it's. Now, Fetterman, the fellow who had a stroke, and I think he's in Pennsylvania, had a stroke has done a fairly good job recovering. And it's, and surprisingly, as he's recovered, he's become more centrist. It's like the smarter he gets, the more he gets his brain faculties back, the more based he becomes. And now he actually came out and said this could be, you know, God tier level trolling on Trump's part. Now, that's both a compliment and a... Here's what I think is happening here with it. There's a couple different avenues this thing can go down. For one, Gates is now the... Because he can... Whether the Senate approves him or not, the president can place an interim attorney general. So he is the acting attorney general, whether they approve of him or not. Now, there's... Theoretically, they're supposed to do all the approvals within 30 days. That this will not happen. Some of the Trump appointments last time, some of the appointments don't happen for almost a year, which is absolutely stupid. It's a broken system because it needs to be viable that they were be able to, you know. Now, according to everybody in the Senate right now, other than Mitch McConnell hasn't said this. Of course, I don't know what Mitch McConnell, if he can even talk anymore. They did get Thune in, as a senior advisor, senior majority leader, whatever he is. They were trying to get Rick Scott in. Now, but apparently they've cut some deals. They've put Thune in there. It was under a secret ballot. It was all Mitch McConnell's doing, and it's just one more chance that the establishment is going to try to keep a death grip, which will be the death knell to the Senate. I don't. Mitch doesn't understand this. They barely have the Senate, control of the Senate. They don't have a two-thirds majority, for sure. And all they're going to do is choke out Donald Trump's agenda and make it bad for everybody. And in the midst of an election where he won the popular vote as well as the electoral vote, and they're going to act like this. You watch what they'll do. They're saying they're going to work with both sides, and they know that there was another... They're not. This is not. This is the establishment trying to. It's its last gasp. What they don't understand is if the establishment would just go along with Trump, with his agenda, try to work with him and maybe make some changes or make some, you know, try to help steer some things, but at least go along with it. This is like two people in a canoe, where one's trying to go a particular direction or doesn't like the person in the front. So they're making it really difficult for the person in the front to do whatever they're trying to, or the person in the front trying to make the person in the back, whatever it is. They're fighting against each other. If you would just let the person in the back lead, do the steering, do the guiding, and just help with the in the front with, you know, pointing things in the right direction or at least kind of keeping things where they need to be. That would be the best option for them. They would at least preserve the party and keep the, you know, and let the establishment kind of just mellow out into oblivion. With the way they're doing it, they're choking themselves. And I don't think they don't even realize what they're doing to themselves at this point. They're destroying the Republican Party and bringing themselves down, you know, they've got 2 years to make a difference in order to keep the Senate and the House for that. Republicans don't like to be out front. They don't like to lead. They don't like leading. They like to lead from behind. They like to be the party that just digs their heels in and slows things down. The establishment doesn't like being out in front. The MAGA bunch does. They'll be out for it. They'll take the lead. Look at Homan. Look, he's just no holds barred. So this is what the law says, and this is what we're going to do. This is how it's going to work. Now, we also have there's a couple of different ways this is going. So either they're trolling. See, Matt Gaetz has already resigned his position in the House, so he's no longer representative. Now, the House is barely held on to, so there's a very small margin in the House. It's there that they've now confirmed that the Republicans have the House and the Senate and the president. So they've got the trifecta here that they need to maintain to get their agendas through. Now, the question is whether they will be able to do that or not. I think it's been very, I mean, when you look at this, I think it's very, I think it was brilliant in the way God moved, you know, put all this together, because it basically, what we're saying here is, you know, if Trump would have just rolled into his second term with all the baggage that we had from all the Republican establishment snakes that were in the grass, I don't know that he could have gotten it all turned around in those 4 years. These 4 years have the people, not only the, you know, they got the people behind him, first of all. I mean, it is a strong, they've given us a contrast of this is what the Democrats are really about. And this wasn't even Democrats 2.0. This was just Democrats 1.5. Kamala would have been 2.0. It would have been the on steroids leftist party. If they would have won, they would have gone full woke agenda, full on just socialist collectivism. This was the contrast that I think the American people needed to see. And now Trump has a mandate, if you will. He has the American people behind him in a strong, powerful way. I think if he can turn things around and get things better going into the midterms, it's not going to be the typical. Usually after a president sweeps, you know, House, Senate, in the presidency, usually there is a shellacking in the midterm. It's not going to happen that way this time if they can get their agenda passed and get things turned around. I think of course the Democrats know that. They will do everything that they can to destroy the economy on the way out the door. Everything, anything they can. They'll get us into a war. They'll do whatever they have to. Now, it's only been a week since the election. It's been a little over a week. So that they're going to, you know, circle the wagons, get themselves, you know, on track to try to destroy this guy and turn everything around. Now, there's a lot of people in the media. I guess Elon Musk is talking about buying MSNBC. A lot of people in the media are in alternative media anyway, are talking about how MSNBC and CNN's and ABC, they've all of their ratings have crashed, less than 50% of the, you know, what they had people watching. That is not that abnormal. Most media organizations right now are down, and the reason this happens is just because of news overload, just fatigue. It's just news fatigue. You know, everybody was in the news. The news was hot. There was a hot cycle going on before the election. Of course, now the election's over. Now the MSNBC and CNN audience feels like they have had the rug pulled out from under them. They've been deceived and all everything else. There's a lot of other things going on with that, but they will come back. They will start listening to them again. They'll start hearing, you know, the same old rhetoric's going to come out. They're still doing the same old rhetoric. Country's misogynist, and now that more of the country's misogynist and racist and everything else. I think the American people are tired of hearing that. They're tired of being name called. They're tired of being blamed for everything that's going wrong with this country. And I think they're just tired of that. We work awfully hard, and we're getting blamed for everything. And I don't think that's the winning statement to the American people right now. That's what they're doing. So this whole thing with having Matt Gaetz, now he's resigned his position as representative in Florida. However, there's a lot of things going on here. For one, he will be, and this is according to, I can't remember who it was that Turner, he was talking to some reporters and said, hey, like it or not, suck it up. He's the attorney general. Now, he's not the official attorney general. I mean, there may be some powers that he might not have as an interim, but he will be the interim AG on January 20th. He will be in that position. He will be filling the office. Now, I don't know if that will be confirmed that he will remain there or not. That's all, you know, that's yet to be decided by the Senate. But according to some senators, even some what I would call establishment senators, Lindsey Graham and some others, they're saying that they've made a deal. They've made an agreement that they're going to work with this. You know, he should have the establishment that he wants. Now, keep in mind, there were a lot of Republicans. This is all also going around. This has become viral. There's a list of Republicans that voted for Merrick Garland. And of course, they were all establishment people. So keep that in mind, because what's going to happen here is these same establishment people are going to say they're not going to vote for Matt Gaetz. Now Garland was the guy. Who launched lawfare on so many of the Trump administration. They were the ones who, you know, did the whole political enemies thing. Keep that in mind. And yet these same Republicans, I think they kind of have themselves in a corner, because if they come out and say they're not going to vote for Matt Gaetz, then what does that make them? They might as well join the Democrat Party at that point. So I think that's part of their issue. There's another angle to this, and I think this is where it could get interesting. The governor, I believe that's the governor of Florida, appoints a new senator if the senator leaves the office. So if I think it's Rick Scott, I think is the senator right now, or whoever it is, it's there. It's going to be in a position, another position in the. They're going to lose a senator in Florida, and I think the governor appoints another one. Now Matt Gaetz, if he's resigned, so what they can do then at that point is they can appoint him as the senator in place of, you know, switch him over to the Senate, and then they would have a. I don't know if they have to have a runoff or if they have. I don't know what different states have different rules on how they replace. There's usually a lieutenant or somebody else that the party usually decides who the House representative is going to be. Sometimes there's a runoff election, but they won't lose that seat. He won't be able to vote for a while because he resigned. But they probably will have somebody before the freshmen are signed in and sworn in in January. I think actually they're sworn in before the 20th. I'm pretty sure the House gets sworn in before the president does. However, so that's another angle in this whole thing. That could be a possible way to do this. And it could just be that Trump is just trolling the left, making their heads explode, because they have vilified Matt Gaetz to the point where they think he's, you know, this is just crazy. This guy's crazy. He's unhinged. And yet they put he puts Marco Rubio in as the Secretary of State. And they were all kind of, okay, so at least we have a moderate, which tells you something about Marco Rubio. When you got CNN saying, okay, that kind of puts me at ease. Okay, well then maybe he shouldn't be anywhere. The point, I think, though, that I think that what's going to surprise them is that Marco Rubio has really kind of, he kind of had he's kind of come around on this whole thing. And, you know, he got called a lot of names by Trump initially, and it seems that he's kind of set all that aside. Here's the thing about Trump. Trump does not hold grudges. He's very transactional. He can call you a name one day, and the next day you're a great guy. You're the greatest guy. You're awesome. Because you come around. Now, when he's the guy in charge and he's the guy running the show, when he's the boss, you go along with it with the boss. You can kick back. You can have other differing opinions, but you still stay. When the boss makes a decision, then you stay loyal to that. You don't keep, you know, or you resign, get out. That's the way it should work. You shouldn't be dragging your feet and being in the negative Nelly in the process. You're not helping things at that point. It's kind of like lead follower, get out of the way. So we have an interesting cabinet being established. Now, this lady who's, I guess, the chief of staff, I thought that Valerie Jarrett was, maybe she wasn't the chief of staff of Barack Obama. What was she? Was she the senior advisor? I don't know what she was. I should look that up, because they're saying that this lady, her name Willis or whatever her name is, that she will be the first female chief of staff, I think, or whatever. Obama chief. How do you spell chief? Chef? of staff. Let's see how we do this. Yeah, it's taking its time. So we, White House Chief of Staff, Senior Aide and Political Advisor to the President of the United States, Chief of Staff, Wikipedia, White House Chief of Staff, learn about his role, Chief of Staff, find out who served as Chief of Staff under Barack Obama. Let's see what this has to say. Cabinet of Barack Obama, Wikipedia members, 2017. This was the internet, whatever. They want money from Wikipedia for some reason. Barack Obama assumed the office of the 44th President of the United States January 20th, 2029. Cabinet's creation, high-level career. I don't know. Where is it? Cabinet officials, all members of cabinet. Executive president. Following members of Barack Obama cabinet. Secretary of State was Hillary Clinton, John Kerry. Secretary of the Treasury, Tim Geithner and Jack Lew. Secretary of Defense, Robert Gates, Leon Panetta, Chuck Hagel, Ash Carter. Attorney General was Eric Holder and Loretta Lynch. Those are the two that served first and second term there. Then we had Secretary of Labor, Secretary of Veteran Affairs, United States Senator, Chair of Council. Minister of Small Business, Chief of Staff, Rahm Emanuel, William M. Daley, Bill Daley, and Jack Lew. And then there was Dennis McDonough, I think it was. I don't know what Valerie Jarrett was. Maybe she was the senior advisor. Yeah, here we go. No, that's Loretta Lynch. I do not see Valerie Jarrett. Let's see if we can find that, because I really wonder. Obama. Valerie. I guess it was J-A-R-R-E-T-T. What was she? Let's see what she was. She was running the show, and she still does. She is the arm in the puppet, puppet that is Obama. We have Valerie Jarrett, American businesswoman, foundation. She is the longest-serving senior advisor to the U.S. Senior advisor. She lasted all 8 years. She lasted both terms. Most senior advisors, presidents usually go through them like water. They usually go through at least two or three during their terms. And she stayed there the whole 8 years. She still lives with, she's 68 years old now. She still lives in the same building complex as the Obamas right now, in their home, so to speak, in, DC. We have, so she was the senior advisor. Now, I don't know I think the senior advisor, under Obama or under Trump. I'm not sure that's going to be. Let's see what we got here. Trump senior advisor. Stephen Miller. That's who it is. Okay. That's who he's appointed at this point. He's going to be senior advisor. So he's taking Valerie Jarrett's place. Okay. So now we know. So there you go. Those are some of the appointments that are coming up. And I think that those are kind of now Stephen Miller, of course, their head's popping off about that because they think he's the most they think he's a Ku Klux Klan guy. He is not at all, by the way. He's a very principled guy. If you read anything of his actual stuff, he has written a few things. He's got a few things out there that he actually wrote. He didn't have ghostwriters reading anything. This should be very interesting. He's a very straightforward guy, and I think he's going to get along well with Trump because he's super upfront honest. And at the end of the day, he will go along with whatever Trump decides, but he will definitely give Trump his opinion. And he's a very opinionated guy. So I think it's going to be a very, they're either going to click and it's going to work really well, or it's going to go very poorly and he's not going to be there very long. That's the way I see it. If it lasts a week, it'll last, 4 years. So we're in a very interesting time here. It's what I'm trying to say. And it's, I love seeing the way the left is just going nuts. If I have time, now tomorrow morning, I get up pretty early. There may be a show tomorrow. I'm going to try to put together some audio clips of some things for next week. Because next Monday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, there will be a show next week. Is there going to be? Yeah, there will be. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. There will be shows next week, and also probably on Thursday, and probably not on Friday. But there will be 4 days next week that we will have a morning show. One of those shows is going to be from... one of those shows, they're all going to be from home. They'll all be from home. I don't think any of them will be. If there's going to be one on Friday at all, it will be from Dallas. I have to go to Dallas on that day. So there's possibly going to be a show in Dallas that day. So we have all that's going on. In the meantime, it should be very interesting with regard to everything that pans out between now and then. But I'd like to play some audio clips of some of the way the leftists have just gone. Their heads are melting. It is very interesting. And I think it's going to be, kind of butter your popcorn and sit back and watch the show here, because I think it's going to be quite fun. I honestly believe that some of this is trolling and manipulation of the media, just to make them look even more ridiculous than they already do. Some of the statements that are being made, some of the things that are being said, are just driving themselves into the ground. And literally, ratings-wise, it is literally just driving them in the ground. Joy Reid has said some things. Apparently, she's on the chopping block to possibly get fired. Elon Musk might be buying MSNBC because its value right now is way down. Can you imagine what would happen with MSNBC if Elon Musk bought MSNBC? Oh, my word. Yeah, there's some interesting stuff going on. God bless, folks. Have a great evening. I will talk to you tomorrow, maybe.